Welcome to the People's Baptist Hour, heard weekly here on WOTC, winning others to Christ. This service is coming to you from People's Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, with Pastor Richard Forsyth. We pray that God will use today's message to touch your heart, and if we can be of any help to you spiritually, please call area code 540-434-6554. Now let's join the service.
Good to be saved, isn't it?
Amen.
It's good to have the Bible, God's holy word. Good to be saved.
Amen.
So that you have the Holy Spirit that you can understand it.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Good to be in God's house today. And we trust that you came looking for a blessing. You can always find something to criticize. But come looking for the good things, and you'll find those too as well. Amen. Good to see all of you. Thank you for being here. Visitors, welcome. Got some folks from New York, and they're near. They fight the snow a lot, but it's not been that bad this year, they say. So it's good to have those folks with us from Massanutten. And good to see you. It's a beautiful Lord's Day.
Amen.
Amen. I think we're in spring, aren't we? This is April, isn't it, or May? It's been unusual, no doubt. But it's so good to see you, and thank you for being here. We trust the Lord will bless us as we look at His Word today. Locate 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Good to see Ellen Faye today. And Mike, good to have you guys with us. Bless you. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I trust that all of you who are adults and all of you who have family, I trust you have a will made up. Now, I won't stop and ask you to raise your hand if you have one made up or not, but you ought to have a will made up. Amen? Is that important?
Amen.
Let me tell you, it is very important. It's very important. What is a will? Anybody know? A will is a document that describes how all your worldly possessions will be handled and where they go and who they go to. Now, that is an important thing, is it not?
Amen.
So I don't know what's in your will. I don't know what all you have, you know, big bank accounts and houses and so forth, and you're going to leave a lot behind. So, but anyway, it's a very important thing, no matter how young you are or whatever, you need to have a will. Amen. You need to leave a heritage. You need to leave a legacy for the next generation. So that will help them, encourage them, strengthen them, help them live their lives. Amen. There's another will that you need to be very conscious of. You need to be conscious of the heritage you're leaving behind. You need to be conscious of what's going to be in your will when you die and what they remember you by. So we want to look at a plan to leave, or plan to leave a heritage today. That's the title of the message, plan to leave a heritage. Just like you need to plan to leave a will in this life for the physical things, you need to also need to leave a will for the spiritual things. We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Join me as we read 2 Timothy chapter 1 down through verse 9. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pause as the assembly, the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. We call upon you, thanking you, praising you, how good you are to us, the creator God of all things. You created this world. We thank you for it. You created us in your image. We thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth, this sinful, wicked earth full of sinful men. And you sent your Son to this earth to die for us upon a cross, to shed his blood on that cross and pay the penalty for our sins, to be buried 3 days and three nights, and Lord, then to rise again for our justification and our salvation. We thank you, Father, for the salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that resides in us. We trust, Lord, that we'd be filled with him. Trust him for our every move. Let him be in charge and control of us. We thank you for the Bible, the Word of God, settled in heaven forever. We pray, Lord, that you would help us be obedient to your Word. The Lord Jesus said, "Why do you say you love me and keep not my commandments?" We thank you, Father, for everyone here today, for those visiting with us, Lord, for our church people. We pray that you'd bless us as we gather together in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, bless your Word and these thoughts, that you might help us, that we might truly, Father, leave an heritage to those who follow us. We need to be very conscious of it. And that means we need to be very conscious of how we live our lives and what we leave behind us. So, Father, I pray that you would bless now. Work in our hearts. We pray for any that may be listening, any that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. We pray for ourselves as believers that we would be, Father, concerned, disturbed, but also, Lord, shaken to the point that we'll be faithful to you, serve you, leave a heritage behind us. We ask you to bless now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. A heritage, a legacy, is valuable things that are passed down to other people. Generally, of course, we know that a will or a heritage concerns money, or it will concern property, so forth, that we pass down to those that follow us. However, the most important heritage that a Christian can pass down to others is a spiritual heritage. More important than a will for your money and your property, more important than that is for you to leave a will or a legacy spiritually for those who follow you. And that's very important. It's very important how you live your life today. It's very important as the example that you set, because you're going to leave a legacy behind you. They're going to remember you for what you have done and how you lived your life. And spiritually, the spiritual life is the most important life. It's not what you have physically. It's not how many cars you have or houses you have or how much money you have in the bank. That should not be our focus, and that should not be our goal. Can you say amen to that? Our focus should be, all of us who name the name of Christ, should be that we leave a legacy or a heritage for those who know us. Neighbors, friends, makes no difference. Co-workers, but especially family. We need to leave a legacy behind. And it's a spiritual legacy that we need to leave. And we need to know that that is the most important legacy that you can leave. The most important heritage that you can leave is a spiritual legacy. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for the gospel?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that somebody shared the gospel with you one day and you bowed your knee before God and asked him to forgive you as a sinner and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul and understand the gospel and what that means and what he did for us? And at that time and at that moment, you were changed into a new creature in Jesus Christ. Amen? You were saved. And now you're a Christian. And that since being a Christian, you leave a path behind you. You leave a heritage behind you. So the question is, what kind of heritage spiritually are you leaving? Are you going to leave behind you? What do people think about you once you're gone? Or something happens to you? How will they remember you? Will they remember you as a spiritual person concerned about the souls of others and an example to others to be loving and kind and know God and serve him? Biblical life or biblical life principles. You need to leave biblical life principles behind that give others eternal life and live lives that are blessed, honoring, and lives that glorify God. That's the kind of lives we need to live. Now, folks, we need to stop and remember, and that's why we say pray for our teens. Pray for our young people as they go into this world. They're going to face a lot of things. There's a battle raging today as to what kind of heritage people will leave their children. They will leave their next generation. The world's young people are receiving an inheritance of corruption, an inheritance of evil, an inheritance of sinfulness that will lead to judgment before God. That will lead to judgment before God. And they're leaving this kind of heritage to them from their peers, from their families, from their schools, from the media, from government. They're having examples of all this that's going on in the world, corruption and sinfulness and so forth. And that's what the young people of this world are going to receive. The devil is the god of this world. Everybody understand that? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says that they follow the course of this world and the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan himself. He is in control of the world. And they're leaving our young people such a heritage that will destroy them. The devil is planting many seeds in the hearts and minds of young people. He's planting bad seeds. Bad seed is being sown that sprouts and spreads. They become reeds blowing in the wind of humanism. They become brambles of sensual behavior. They become weeds of materialistic desires. And that's what they're being left behind as far as a heritage from this country, from the world, from our government, and so forth and so on. We could name them all. The schools, etc. Christians, however, Christians are a heavenly people. And even Christians get caught up in the things of the world where we are going to try to build great amounts of money or property and leave those behind, and that's what we concentrate on. But as believers in Jesus Christ, folks, we ought to be concentrating on our spiritual lives, on our spiritual heritage, what we're going to leave behind, the examples that we set before our young people, the example that we set before our children. We need to set an example of godliness, salvation in Jesus Christ, a new creature in Jesus Christ, different from the world, not like the world, not conformed to the world. We leave them a different heritage. Christians are a heavenly people. Christians are not to be worldly minded. Christians are to be what? Heavenly minded. They are to leave a heavenly inheritance to those who know us, not only just family, but to those who know us, those that we work with. They're our neighbors, our friends, people that we see every day, but especially our children, especially our families. We need to leave a proper heritage. Christians are a heavenly people. They're not to be worldly people and worldly minded. They are to be heavenly minded. They are to leave a heavenly inheritance to those who follow them. Now, we use this verse a lot, but it's an important verse. By the way, every verse in the Bible is important. Say amen.
Amen.
It's God's word. Amen. Amen. And we're supposed to obey what God tells us, right?
Amen.
Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now, we quote this a lot. You hear it a lot. You may read it a lot. We talked about this before. We get so used. You know, familiarity is a great enemy. You get familiar with things. It gets old. It gets to where it's meaningless. Can that happen in church? Can that happen with Christian people? Oh, yeah. Been saved for a long time. You come to church. You sing these songs. But you sing them. They have no meaning to you. You just know them. And you sing them. You don't think about what you're singing. The thing about, and the same is true of Scripture. You'll read Scripture, you'll hear verses over and over and over and over and over again. And so familiarity is an enemy. So what happens, you get so familiar with it, that it loses its meaning. And that's what you cannot do as far as the Word of God is concerned. Amen? It's settled in heaven forever, and we'll be judged by the Word of God. But let's go to the verse, this passage that we hear so often. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ. Now, you know, that little word if is so important. It's so important. It says, if you be risen with Christ, that is, that you are saved. So when you read that verse and you stop right there and you just consider, what is he saying here? Well, he's saying, if you are a Christian, if you are saved. Now, so you would conclude that, yeah, I'm a Christian. I've saved. There's been a time in my life I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know I'm saved and going to heaven. I know God. He answers my prayers. I know the Holy Spirit lives within me because he leads me, guides me, convicts me. I can understand the Word of God when I read it. So I know the Holy Spirit's in me. So you come to the conclusion, once that first phrase that you read it, you come to the conclusion, I'm saved. Amen. I'm a Christian. So that's what he's saying. If you then be risen with Jesus Christ, that is saved and born again. And I trust every one of you again are born again, that's listening to me and that's in this room. I trust you all know that you're saved and going to heaven. You need to know that, and you need to have that testimony in your heart and soul. Amen? So, if you then be risen with Christ, that is, if you are saved, and you settle that, then you go to this. Seek those things which are where? Seek those things. The word seek means to search out, go for, be always conscious, always thinking about those things which are where? Above. Now, what would that mean? Well, it means the things of God, wouldn't it? It means what God says in his word, right? It means what the Holy Spirit then convicts you of and teaches you about. So it says, then you are to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. By the way, you know that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven after his crucifixion, right? He gave a testimony, been raised from the dead. Many saw him, so forth, and then he ascended into heaven. By the way, the last command he gave to his disciples and to the church of Jesus Christ was what command? The last command he gave.
Go ye therefore.
Go ahead with it. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen, to every creature. Now that command passes down, right down to us today. We're the church of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We're the body of Christ if you are risen with Christ. If you are saved and born again. So he says, if you then be risen with Christ, that is, you're saved, you're to seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Now, what's he doing at the right hand of God?
Interceding.
He is interceding for us. He is our lawyer before God. Remember this, God is holy. He cannot tolerate sin. Right? When he looks at me, when he looks at you as a Christian, he looks through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he sees us justified.
Amen.
Declared righteous.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
That's the only way we can have a relationship with God is Jesus Christ. And he is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us when we slip, fall, do things wrong, etc. Now, hey, we've learned a lot from this verse, haven't we? You see, if you spend a lot of time with reading the scriptures, you'll begin to, it'll open up to you a lot of things. So, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, then it tells us this in the last line, set your affection, your hopes, your dreams, your desires, what you want in life, set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. Now we know the Lord is telling us we're very tempted by the world. We live in this world, we're very tempted by the things of this world. But we're not to follow this world. We're not to be like the world. We're to come out from among the world and be separate, saith the Lord, touching not the unclean thing. Say amen.
Amen.
That's what happens with us as believers in Jesus Christ. We become born again. We change. We have a new course that we follow. That's what baptism symbolizes. You're now going to walk a new path. You're going to follow another course. You're not going to be like the world. You're not going to conform yourself to the things of the world. So, pretty rich verse here, isn't it? So we're to set our affections, if we're risen with Christ, on things above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Christians are a powerful influence if they will live the life they're supposed to live, if they'll be right with God, if they'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. A Christian is a powerful influence in the world. They're a powerful influence on their children. They're a powerful influence on their family. They're a powerful influence on their friends. They're a powerful influence in the church. And they're a powerful influence in the world. Amen? That's what Christians are supposed to be. We're not supposed to be quiet. Did you know that? You're not supposed to be quiet. You're supposed to be stirring up things. They ought to know who you are, the world. They ought to know, the neighbors that you live by ought to know who you are. People you work with ought to know who you are. They ought to know what you are. You ought to stir things up everywhere you go because you are a powerful influence for Jesus Christ. Friends, the problem we've had these last few years as Christians in the churches, we're quiet. We don't want people to know that we're saved and we're Christians and we're different. And we feel secure in our four walls where we are when we come to church. But we don't feel secure in the world, which we should, because God's in control. We'll talk about that. God's in control. We shouldn't be fearful of people, people we work with. You lose your job, don't worry about it. God will get you another one. Don't you believe that?
Amen.
God will take care of you. But we need to be living like Christians. We need to have our affection set on things above, not on things on the earth. This is not where our desires should be tied up. Our desires are to be tied up in heaven with the things of God, with what he tells us in his word. We ought to be tied up with those things. Christians are to be a powerful influence on their communities and on society. They are responsible to leave a godly heritage behind them, whether it's for their own children or those who work with them or those who they know or neighbors, friends, etc. They are to leave a powerful influence. Our desire should be like the Apostle Paul. Look at verse 3. He says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul's talking about his legacy. So he says, you know, our desire should be like the Apostle Paul in verse 3. In verse 5, he mentions Timothy's heritage. He said that when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's in you also. See, we have a heritage. Some of us received a great heritage spiritually. Now, many of us did not. But some of you received a great heritage, just like Paul, just like Timothy here. In chapter 2, verse 2, Paul admonishes, he says in verse 2 of chapter 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. A Christian, if he's saved and born again, he has the desire to live a life that pleases God. He has a desire, if you're a Christian, to go to church. You come around on Sunday, you know where you're supposed to be. The Holy Spirit inside of you convicts you, tells you, where are you supposed to be this morning? You're supposed to be in church. You're supposed to be worshiping. Now, I'm talking about if you're a Christian. Now, if you don't have that testimony in you and that conviction in you, then there's something not quite right. Amen? So, a Christian has the desire to live a life that obeys the Lord, to live a life that pleases the Lord. This desire drives us to establish biblical truths to follow in our lives, biblical principles to follow in our lives. Truths and principles that please God and that leaves a godly heritage to those who know them, their children, their friends, their neighbors, co-workers. See, we're supposed to be a powerful influence for Jesus Christ. We're not supposed to be a group of people that's huddled up in a corner just trying to stay safe. We're supposed to stir things up. Did you know that? What did they say of the early disciples? That's right. They didn't go find a place out in the woods to hide and just stay there for the rest of their lives, did they? They turned the world upside down. They made the world a different place. Now, was that easy for them to do? Oh, no. They paid a price for it, that's for sure. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, by the way, you will suffer persecution. The Lord tells us that. So he expects us then to live godly in Christ Jesus in this world, to where we have a testimony and we're a powerful influence on anybody that knows us. But that's not happening. And that tells us, folks, there's something not right. We need to think about it. Because we need to be concentrating on leaving a spiritual heritage to our families, friends, and so forth in this world. We need to upset the world. We need to stir the world up. And what is it that stirs them up? You? No. It's the truth of Jesus Christ. The message that everyone in this world needs to hear. And we have the responsibility by Jesus Christ to stir them up with it. Say amen, somebody. To stir them up with it. A Christian has a desire to live a life that obeys and pleases the Lord. And this desire drives us to establish biblical truths in our lives and in the lives of others, a truth that pleases God and leaves a godly heritage. A godly heritage. So, what are some biblical principles that we need to establish in life? A heritage to be left to others. Let me give you a few principles just to think about. Principle number one, leave a heritage of trusting the Lord in all circumstances.
Amen.
Leave a heritage of faith that I know God and I can trust God. Makes no difference what happens to me. I will live for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. I will stir things up, if you will. Leave a heritage of trusting the Lord under all circumstances. Now, I say this morning because I've been through a year or two that's been rough physically for me. Things I've never experienced in life. And they're hitting me pretty hard here lately. So we struggled with it. Circumstances sometimes, and with that, sometimes I find myself doing what? Questioning the Lord. You have anybody else have that problem but me? We just have trouble trusting the Lord. Circumstances around us begin to fall, and this goes awry, and this goes bad, and this is not good. So what happens? I find Richard Forsythe complaining. And then I remember a passage back in the Old Testament about people complaining to the Lord. And I say, whoops. I keep looking for snakes to come around. We're not to complain, are we? Yeah, we may hurt. We may say, ouch. But listen, we're not to complain. The Lord knows, amen. We need to trust the Lord in all circumstances. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, says this: trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. So much of the time we want to figure it out. Well, sometimes we can't figure it out. We have to go to the Lord and let Him take care of it. Amen? So He says here, trust in the Lord. Depend upon the Lord. Trust in Him with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Whatever happens, circumstances in life, troubles in life, whatever happens, we're to give thanks to the Lord. That's hard to do, isn't it? Huh? I've had trouble thanking the Lord for this sciatic nerve I got. I've had trouble thanking the Lord for COVID, if you will. It's hard to do that. But we need to understand that He's in control. We need to understand that we can trust Him. So, whatever happens, we need to give thanks for it. Now, this verse we struggle with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Here's the two words that open it up. It says, in everything. What does everything mean?
Everything.
That means all of it. Everything, no matter what it is. In everything, do what?
Give thanks.
Now, why should we give thanks? For this is the
will of God.
There you go. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you as a believer. Amen. Remember, and we know that all things. There you go again. And everything give thanks. And then here it says, know that, we know that in all things, or all things, work together as a purpose. It's working together for good to them that love God, for them that trust Him, for them that have faith in Him. For them that love God, to them who are the called. Now, if you're saved, by the way, you're called.
Amen.
You have been chosen. You understand that as a Christian.
Yeah.
If you're saved, you've been called. And you've been called to work a godly work. To work God's work in the world. You're not called just to go to heaven. So many Christians have this in their mind. I'm just saved to go to heaven so I don't go to hell. That's it. I don't have to worry about anything else. No, sir. You are called to glorify God. You are called to serve God. You're called to work Him, to work His work upon the earth. You are a called person.
Amen.
And you have a responsibility. All things work together for good to those that love God, to them who are the called according to His purposes. Not yours. Not to have a good, easy life and be blessed, like some preachers preach on TV. No. You are called according to His purpose. Underline those two words. His purpose. You're on this earth for His purpose. You're on this earth to serve Him. God is the only one that has the power. He's the only one that has the love. He's the only one that has the wisdom to protect us and to guide us. Amen. Psalm 48, verse 14. This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. He tells us here that He's going to guide us through life. If we're a Christian, if we're dedicated to Him and serve Him, if we're right with God, He's going to guide us, even unto death. He guides us by the Holy Spirit. We ought to pause right here and bow our heads and just say, God, thank You for the Holy Spirit that lives in me. If you're a Christian, amen? Amen. He guides us by the Holy Spirit that indwells us, empowers us, teaches us, gives us wisdom, gives us power in this life. He guides us by His Word. Are you thankful for the Word of God? Folks, listen, never doubt this book. You look at the history of it, how it's a miraculous book. It is a God-inspired book. Amen? And He means for God's people to obey it, to learn it, to know Him. Thank the Lord for God's Word. Hey, thank the Lord for prayer. He guides us by God's Word. He guides us by the Holy Spirit. He guides us by prayer. Now, we talk about this every once in a while. Prayer is so hard for people, Christians. Why? Flesh, devil, world. We're too busy. We don't have time. We need to make time. Prayer is one of the greatest privileges any person has. Period. You can talk to the Almighty God. Amen. You can talk to the Creator God. And by the way, God created this world, not evolution, not some big bang. God created the world. Amen. Those are the devil's ploys. That's the devil's education, to teach young people that this whole life and world just came in with no meaning at all. If you swallow that line, you have no purpose in life. You have no reason to be here. God created it. Amen. See, He guides us by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. He guides us by prayer and His counsel. Amen. After the Battle of Bull Run, I mentioned we all kind of get troubled and so forth when things go wrong and aren't going good. After the Battle of Bull Run, Imboden came to Stonewall Jackson, who had received a very painful wound in battle. And he said, General, how can you keep, this is what he said to Jackson, General Jackson, how is it that you can keep so calm and so cool and appear so utterly insensible to danger in the battle? In such a storm as today, all the shell and the bullets that rained about you when your hand was hit, he was wounded in the hand. Jackson turned to Captain, and he said, Captain, answered Jackson, and he said this in a very grave and reverential manner. He says, and note what he says. He says, my faith in God teaches me to feel as safe in battle as I am in bed. Amen. Now think about that statement for a minute. So he says, my faith in God teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time for my death. There's appointed unto time once to die, and after this the judgment, the Bible says. So God has fixed the time for my death, he says. So what? I do not concern myself about that at all. About dying or being hurt, being wounded, being killed. He says, I don't concern myself with that. I trust God. My life is in his hands. If I'm to die in this battle, I die in this battle. Because I trust God, he tells me that there's appointed to me a time to die. So he says, I don't concern myself about that, but to always be ready to die. Always be ready to die, no matter when it may overtake me. He then paused, and then he added this. That's the way all men should live. And then all in the world would be brave. Huh? See, we don't trust God for everything. We get worried. We complain. We complain. Jackson was very calm, very cool, very secure. No matter what battle he fought, no matter where he went, as he was in bed at night. That's the way we ought to be. Do you agree?
Amen.
How many agree to that? That's the way you ought to be. And then he says, the whole world would be brave if that's the attitude they took. We wouldn't worry about what people say. We wouldn't worry about if they kill us. We wouldn't worry about if they beat us up. Would we? Because God has appointed a time when he wants us to go home. I read that and I was, boy, I'm impressed with that. That's why he was so that calm in the battles. If most men would live that way, we all would be brave. I tell you, Christians, we need bravery. Amen? We need bravery. We need to leave that as a heritage to those who follow us. Bravery. The second thing is we need to leave an inheritance of your mind being trained for God. Is your mind important to you? Is that something important to leave as a heritage of how you control your mind and what you do with it? It's very important that what we do with our minds. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of what? Of fear, but of what? Power. By the way, you know that verse? Have it memorized? You ought to. For God has not given us, Christians, a spirit of fear. We're a bunch of fearful people. We're a fearful bunch. We're afraid to stand out. We're afraid to be a great influence. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And third thing, of a... How many know it? Okay, the rest of you listen up. Sound mind. Amen? Amen? Sound mind. Your mind is to be used for the glory of God. Your mind contains a will. And remember this, you are a created moral agent. What's that mean? You have the ability to choose. You are created with the ability or the will to make a choice. To choose direction in your life. You can choose to obey God or you can choose to disobey God like Adam and Eve. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy. And the evil way. And the forward mouth. Do I hate, God says. So what's he say? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, oppose it, fight it, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, we are to have the mind of Jesus Christ. He made himself no reputation. He didn't seek praise or position. He was to have a form of a servant, and that's to be humble and obedient and suffered giving up. Giving us salvation for us. We are to have the mind of Christ, a sacrificial thing. Live for Jesus Christ and him only. Sinful behavior or virtuous behavior begins in the mind. What you are is what you are in your mind. What you are is how you are, what you are when you think. What do you think? What is it you watch? What is it you think about most of the time? What is it you think about all day long? What is it that drives your thoughts? It's important. Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but deal with another law in my members, which war against the law of my mind and brings me into captivity to the law of sin. Romans 7. You become what you put into your mind. This is why the psalmist said in 101 verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall never cleave to me. But what you put in your mind is who and what you are. Philippians 4:8. The Lord says here, he says, you're to think on these things. Remember what that passage says? You're to think on these things that are true, honest, just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things of a good report. You are to cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought that you have in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some said this, a man is what he thinks about all day long. A man's life is what his thoughts make it be. A great discovery, human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitude and their mind. As a man, the Bible says, thinks in his heart, so is he. You need to leave a legacy of good thinking, controlling your mind, watching what you hear, what you read, what you look at. A third point that you should consider, leave a legacy of setting goals in your life. Are you setting any goals to serve God? Now, you may have a goal of paying your bills. You may have goals of all kinds of things. Vacations, by the way, you probably already got your goal set for vacation this year. Probably planned it months ahead of time. Got your vacation all set to go. Have you planned anything at all for serving the Lord? And how are you going to serve Him? Whether you can better serve Him or not. Need to follow Paul's example in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. There's one thing he says I do. Remember? Forget those things which are where? Behind. Press toward the mark of the high calling of God. You've got to plan it. You've got to plan it and set goals for it. You are more organized, directed, and successful when your mind works, and your mind works best when you have goals to achieve. Otherwise, if you don't aim at something, you'll never hit anything. And a lot of Christians live that way. They don't aim at anything as far as God's concerned or serving Him. So they don't end up hitting anything. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly, the fourth thought that you want to leave behind in heritage is a heritage of loving through giving. Now, I would just simply say tithing is where that starts. It teaches you to give to the Lord, and then it helps you give to other people who have needs as well. So that point is that you need to add and leave behind you is a heritage of loving through giving. It is much more blessed to give than what? Receive. Now we hear that, like all of it. We hear that, but we don't really practice it. We need to give. Give to the Lord first. And then give to others who have their needs. And by the way, we're supposed to help our brethren. Amen? So you need to have and be thinking about that as well. You want to leave a legacy of love and giving. And also, the fifth one is, leave a legacy of a life filled with the Holy Spirit. Having the power of God upon your life. In Ephesians 5:18, here's a command to every Christian. Be filled That word means controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, who indwells you if you're saved. He indwells you at salvation. Your body is His temple. Is that true? See, we think our bodies belong to ourselves. They do not. God bought us. He laid down His blood to purchase you, to buy you out of the slave market of sin, the Bible says. You're His, not yours. That's why you need to live a life and plan a life that serves Him, amen, that honors Him. You put Him first in everything. Your body is His temple, and the Holy Spirit is to be in control. And then I'll leave you with one other thought. Leave a legacy of soul winning. Here's where the church has failed since the 70s, I believe. Used to be in the 70s, there was a great emphasis upon soul winning. Bus ministry was really developing all over the place. People hauling kids and so forth, families into the church. And many, 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 many got saved. I can't tell you how many people, since I've been in Harrisonburg, have run across people who are in churches and serving the Lord, but say they were saved at People's Baptist Church through the bus ministry. I can't tell you how many. Oh, People's. Oh, yeah. I was saved at People's. They brought me in on the bus. There was a great emphasis back in those days for winning souls. What's happened to that? Well, we think society's changed. The world is a very troubled place now we live in. The culture's changed. It's hard for us now to get out and contact people. And they reject bus ministries and so forth because of all the dangers in this society that exists today. But see, that makes no difference. We still should get out there and win people to Christ. Amen. That needs to be restored in us. There's something wrong, folks, if Christians are not soul winners. You know, I think I've asked once before. I can't tell you the number of people that I've led to the Lord. Not that it's a great army, but I'm just saying. Has any of you won at least one person to Christ? I won't have you raise your hand. I'm almost tempted to. Is there any Christian here who has never won anybody to Christ? I would say there's something very wrong with that. If you've been saved any length of time, you ought to have quite a few people, at least some people, that you have personally led to Jesus Christ. Something wrong. We need to find out what that is. Leave a legacy of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Leave a legacy of being a soul winner. If you don't win them, your kids probably won't. They probably won't rise any higher than you are. You need to remember that. As a parent and as an adult, the young people will not rise any higher than the example that you set. In fact, it'll probably be lower than the example that you set. Is that important? Absolutely is. Leave a legacy of a holy, separated life. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. What kind of an inheritance are you putting together for those behind you, for your children? What are you leaving them, spiritually speaking? You might leave them a few bucks and a little property. That really don't amount to anything. It's nothing, really. That's not the important thing in life. It's a spiritual inheritance. May God help us. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us, Your blessings to us. We pray, Father, that You would take this message and Your word into our hearts and lives. And Lord, make us and help us be obedient to You. Help us, and may we be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. May we obey and follow the word of God. May we be soul winners. May we have a testimony of turning the world upside down, of being a great force in the world. We should impact the world greatly, Lord. And forgive us, because we're not. We're afraid, and we're not supposed to be. We have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name. Work in our hearts and our lives. We pray that pray for any that may not know Christ, they would be saved. Pray for ourselves as Christians to be the Christian that you'd have us to be. We ask it in Jesus' name.
We trust that God used today's message to work in your life. If you are unsure of where you'll spend eternity, don't let another day go by without getting the answer. If we can be of spiritual help, please call area code 540-434-6554.